Good morning, and welcome to the How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything radio show. And good morning, Jen.
And good afternoon, Chris.
Thank you very much. And I'm coming in loud and clear, I take it. I can hear you quite well.
Okay, good. Yes, and I can hear you perfectly.
All right.
Great. Happy to be here.
Happy to be here indeed. All right, so our assignment from yesterday. I would be happy if only, dot, 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 record and listen.
Hmm.
So let's see what our first caller has to say. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
First caller, are you there?
First caller?
Hello.
Hello.
This
is Pasha.
Yes.
Hey, Pasha.
Oh, hi. I'm so unexpected to be on the call. But I'm so committed to be in the queue.
Ah, very good. Very good. No matter what.
Yes. Yes. I start to notice this process. Once I've been in the queue, once I've been on the show, then the next day I hear the voice saying, well, okay, you've done that. Today, then you don't have to be there. And I was like, that looks suspicious.
That seems a little iffy. That seems along the lines of, I mean, you were present yesterday. You don't have to be present today.
Yes, yes. And also it tells me, like, you've done it, and it made you tired. And now you need to take a break from the awareness practice. And, there's 1 million other things to do.
Right.
Come here, I'll tell you about them. So, and then I'm lost.
And all of it in that you voice, you know, just that just pernicious, evil, telling me what my experience is, deciding for me how my life is going to go, what I am going to do, what I'm not going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if we put it, I don't know if you did yesterday's assignment, but putting it in that context, kind of even deciding for us when we do and don't get to be happy.
Right. Yes. I was looking at what is the worst could happen and what is the kind of best can happen to me, and then who decides that experience. There is a sense of like a silence, quiet, and freedom of like there is no one who is there to dictate, and not only conditioning is trying to be in charge of my life, and life does not impose itself as kind of being in charge. Yeah.
Wow, boy, Pasha, when you said that, what I just saw, I don't know if this is what you're pointing at, but, you know, that's what conditioning is. It's a constant system that's deciding, well, this is bad or this is good or I like this or I don't like this. Or, again, to take it to today's assignment, kind of, well, yeah, I would be happy if only, you know, dot, dot, dot. And yet, when we're just here, and we're not in that constant sort of one half beat behind conversation, we don't look to that. The moment just is. It's inherently complete. There is no, I mean, it becomes bizarre to talk about best or worst or.
But there is a habit of like kind of assuming that there is something wrong. There is moment incomplete. There is somebody's gonna. Somebody has to know, be responsible, you know, and then so on. And that's kind of underlying beliefs that are, you know, these assignments are so good to bring up and expose and look at it.
Exactly, exactly. Well put. That what the assignments do is they bring to the surface, they bring to put in front of us that which is kind of behind us and invisible from us, but still running the show. And so when we can bring it in front of us and see it, then we get to actually, you know, we were talking yesterday on the show about choice. Then we get to be in that place where I actually have the information and can make the choice.
Yes. And I have my experience of, you know, practice is guiding my life, and I don't need that. I don't need someone to be in that throne of control.
Yes, yes, exactly. So when that voice starts to say, you know, gosh, I mean, Tasha, you were just on the show yesterday. I mean, and look how tired it made you. I mean, you really need a break. I just love that sort of that image of, oh, thanks. You know what? I don't actually need someone to manage me. I'm just fine. Life has my back. I've got practice. I'm good. I'm all set.
All right. Yes. So that's going to be my commitment. I'm going to be in the queue.
Very good.
All right.
Excellent.
Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tasha. Okay.
Thank
bye-bye.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you, Pasha. And just... nonstop humor if we're disidentified, right, in terms of what conditioning is up to. So I would be happy if only it didn't make me tired yesterday.
Right. Yes. And what made me tired was, boy, being aware and
being present.
Practicing. That was rough.
Yeah.
That was really hard.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, as you said, Jen, we just don't need to be managed in that way. That without all of that going on, then we just would be happy. So, yeah.
And, you know, one of the things, I mean, we talk about it all the time, but I think of it particularly in the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat. One of the things we really get to look at is how much it really is that's making us miserable, that's making us tired, that's sucking all of the energy out, is that constant being managed by conditioned mind in a conversation.
Yep, exactly. So, all right, let's move to our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Laura.
Hey, Laura.
Hi. Well, I think I was looking at some similar things with yesterday's assignment. The first thing that came up for me was, I'd be happy if only these voices would stop talking to me.
Yes, exactly. There must be a pill or a magic wand or something.
Yeah. And then I just kind of looked at it, because then there's all the other content stuff that comes up. You know, I'd be happy if only I had a partner. I'd be happy if only this health thing would stop. I'd be, you know, all of that. Well, and the reframe I thought of was, as I was recording for that first one, was kind of, I'd be happy if only I stopped listening to the voices rather than.
Exactly. That's what I was going to ask. And, you know, curious, Laura, just kind of from looking to my own experience, but so then you got to the level of, okay, look, you know, I'd be happy if I had a partner, I'd be happy if, and there's a way in which it actually can be helpful to let ourselves go to those places to in order to explore them. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like overall with this workbook, I feel like I've sort of been using it a little bit like sort of the right-hand part of the two-handed recording of just like letting it out, you know, whatever the... what I know the wrong answer is, you know.
I love it.
But
yes. That's exactly what I was pointing at, even well put. That's so great. Gosh, using the whole workbook as the right hand of recording, because why not? That's what's causing me to suffer. So this is my golden opportunity, right? I mean, so, you know, I get to a question like, I'd be happy if only, and, you know, we can kind of, especially if we've been practicing for a while, the quote right answer is, well, I'm happy now, and it's all okay, which is absolutely true. But there's something very helpful about going through whatever it is that are the particular things that I get tortured with, that suffering is created around for me, because if I don't go through them, if I don't allow all of that to come up, it can kind of stay in the background, sort of like we were talking about with Pasha. It can kind of be back there still controlling us if we haven't actually turned to look straight at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. True. And yesterday I was looking at, so I'm kind of glad I had the chance to talk about it today, because there's a book that I picked up a long time ago, and it's about, well, the book is The Gift of a Year, and it's about looking at kind of doing something kind of special for yourself for a year, something that really calls to you, or just carving out that time for yourself. And I had found it really powerful. Like, I was actually reflecting back and realizing that, because I did it for several years, and one of those was, I really want to find a, you know, community around this meditation thing I've been doing. And, you know, so yeah. And, so I was reading it. I was on a plane and I was reading it and just getting really lit up, thinking about ideas and, this, you know, kind of stuff on my back burner that I'd love to do. And, what I think is a bamboozle that I was getting was, well, you know, process, not content. Like, this stuff isn't going to make you happy. Like, this isn't.
Oh, boy.
Like, why would you put your energy towards this? You should just, you know.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? Well, tell me what you thought about that before I launch.
Well, what I was seeing was, because there's, I think it was the sort of pseudo zen of like, well, you're supposed to subvert all desires into one desire, you know?
Yeah.
And I was seeing, well, all these things that I'm thinking about doing, like, I'd be doing all of it in practice, you know? And so that is the one desire. And,
precisely.
And the other thing I was seeing is that I've been struggling, and I've been talking about this, you know, kind of struggling with distraction and different things, and kind of looking at sort of feeling like, you know, I need to sort of escape my life, or I need something special, something better, you know, like, and realizing that system of like, no, you don't need anything that lights you up or that's exciting to you. You don't, no, just stay right here with me. And then I'll just keep like talking into distraction.
Exactly. We've got a whole good program, Laura, right here. We don't need a new program. We already have a program. And the gift is the one that I receive, and it's your life.
Yeah. Hmm. Wow. Yeah.
So what strikes me is it's really a corollary of what we were talking about in terms of you're using the workbook as the right hand part of a two-hander recording. It's the same thing. You know, in the same way, it is process. It's not content. And here's Laura, this unique expression of life that no one else is, has never existed, never will exist again. And there are particular things that come through her and sort of, I don't know how, you know, depending on what tradition you want to talk about it through, you know, the way life speaks to her or speaks through her or however you want to say that. And how do we know that's not exactly the portal to our, as you say, being lit up, being enthusiastic, receiving the gift of being alive? And then conditioning would want to pose it as content versus process, as if they're a duality, one or the other. But what I think you're seeing is that's not true at all. This is something for me to play with within process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I like what you brought to it too, just that in a way, this is the gift that I bring to the world, or that I'm sort of the conduit
for. Exactly.
So it's,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, the thing that's so fantastic about it, especially when we're, you know, so committed to practice, is that if we get bamboozled along the way, which we completely will, because if we get that committed to something, conditioning is going to have its say. So it's going to come in with whatever it comes in with, decisions to be perfect and plans. And, you know, without realizing it, we'll suddenly feel like our well-being is dependent on the outcome, blah, blah, blah. So all of that will happen, but that's totally fine because you're completely plugged into practice. So all that's going to do is reveal all the processes that have always caused you to suffer.
Hmm. Yeah, that's really helpful. No, that's because I think that's part of the bamboozle too. It's like, well, you're not going to be able to just stay open with this and whatever. So, and
you're
that's
like,
good.
Yeah,
that's
I'm sure.
Good.
Exactly. Good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one last thing I just wanted to say is that I think it was on this show that someone was talking with Sherry about the Civil Rights Museum in Atlanta, and I just wanted to thank them for that tip. I was just there, and it was really powerful. So,
great.
And,
wow.
And inspiring. So, yeah.
Okay. Civil Rights Museum in Atlanta. All right.
Yeah.
On my list.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Laura. Go happy.
Thank you, Laura. And one thing that struck me about that, Jen, was if we really do that, do have the that question be the starting point of a two-handed recording and listening exercise, so to be the right-hand side, then what would ordinarily be the portal to suffering, right? So filling out, allowing conditioning to complete the blank in that question, right? If I would be happy if only, right?
Yeah.
That's the portal to suffering. Then that just switches it completely around to, well, that then becomes the portal to well-being,
right.
to getting closer to that, to whatever life is offering us in that moment.
It's so true. And, you know, as you were saying that, Chris, what I saw is, it just completely shifts our relationship with all of it where, how to say it, it's like the assumption is, this is a really good person. So I don't have to be afraid of anything that's going to come up as I answer these questions. In fact, I welcome all of it because it's just more information about what's going on with this person. And, you know, I might uncover a need that's there that I didn't realize was being neglected or a, you know, any of that, but it just really becomes a wide open exploration instead of kind of like we were talking about, especially with Pasha, being managed and controlled by the voices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that it really, it's another bamboozle to be concerned about how that might get answered or what identity that might cause in some sense or lead me towards, that all of it is really helpful information to leading away from suffering. Yeah, excellent.
Yeah. So as I answer it, if I, you know, I might see, that feels like it's coming from a conditioned place. Okay, well, that's not the end of the exploration. That's the beginning of the exploration.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have to resign ourselves to the answer, right? That's what conditioning wants.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, fine. I'll be happy no matter what.
That's right. Yeah. You know, I was looking, too, at as a fill-in-the-blank question, that conditioning is probably, and I think as you were referring to it as well, that conditioning is probably filling in that blank in almost every instance. And we can just go from place to place and being aware of where conditioning is trying to, you know, what conditioning is trying to be dissatisfied about, kind of the content to that process, yeah.
That is really huge, Chris. Really huge, because in other words, we're going around in our lives on a moment-by-moment basis, usually mostly unconscious to the fact that we're being given that message all the time. Yeah, well, I'd be happy if it was a little warmer. It's a little cold today.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's a little warm, you know, colder. It's so hot today. Well, I wish it was constantly. And then we sit down in a workbook with awareness practice to answer the question, and everyone flees, and the answer becomes, oh, no, I'm completely happy, just how I am.
Right, right. Who, me, unhappy? No, no.
Oh,
yeah, right.
Not me. No, I'm good. I'm all set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very fun.
That is fun.
All right. So next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Andrea calling.
Hey,
Andrea.
Hi. I guess what I see is similar things, which is I would be happy if only I didn't feel this way.
Yeah. It kind of comes down to that, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's basically it. You know?
It really is.
Yeah.
Could
I
be
mean,
anything in any given moment, hot, cold, upset, depressed, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, you know, when I'm sure if I'd answer these questions 20 years ago, there'd be all this content that would come up, and I'd write paragraphs and paragraphs about what I needed. But, you know, now it just all seems to come back to, you know, being in the dark room or being in the light room. So.
Kind of a sense of, I'd be happy if I could just stay in the light room.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
And just today I was noticing, you know, real strong sensations, body sensations, and not wanting to feel those sensations. And so, you know, that was what was going on. I don't want to feel these sensations.
Exactly. And did it feel helpful to see it that plainly and that clearly?
Yes. Yes, it did. And it's interesting because I've been feeling it actually this morning. And while I was listening to this show, I was having my lunch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's interesting is that I think part of the sensations were that I was really hungry.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it was interesting because, you know, they felt or, you know, like anxiety sensations, but like agitation and stuff. And I don't usually experience hunger like that, but yeah, so I think that's really interesting to see that too.
Fascinating, because what it really highlights is how often there's a meaning attached to sensations. Again, a lot of times it's unconscious. You know, we don't even really realize until someone says to us, you know, how are you doing? Well, I'm kind of anxious. And then if someone says, how do you know that? It's like, well, I'm not sure. Hang on. Let me see. And to realize there are all these sensations that have been happening, they're getting labeled this thing, which is what makes it so fun to have something like, oh, turns out I was hungry.
Yeah.
So it just helps us see it's all being made up.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's interesting too, because of all this content of, you know, I'm in North Carolina and the hurricane. So, you know, that's a perfect story for it to attach to.
Exactly. And then you eat your lunch and realize, the hurricane's still coming, but I'm all right now.
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better.
Oh my gosh. My favorite one about that, Andrea, is when I'm going along and I'm doing something, and maybe I get a piece of information from something, from someone, like, you know, I get an email or something, and it shifts a content, like the content sort of, quote, works itself out. And then I turn back to the task I'm working on and realize I feel completely differently about that task. Mm. And what I realize in that is that that entire time my experience was being managed in a way that I didn't see, because there's this story of this thing has got to work out, and if it doesn't work out, then it means da, 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 da. And it's just so wild to have those things shift and realize, wow, I've been being controlled by this set of sensations that I did not even realize.
That's really helpful for me, because I've been experiencing that exact process about something at the same time too. And, you know, I can definitely attach those sensations to that, you know, which I was doing as well. Yeah.
Yes. And then isn't it wild to see, I don't know if that's your experience, but then when something like that sort of does shift and it, quote, works out, then there's like this relief, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this, the belief that I can't have that experience of that lightness, that relief, that openness, unless the thing works out.
Mm.
And what an amazing thing that we can actually practice disconnecting those two things. I could actually practice having that release, having that well-being without, quote, everything working out in that very conditional kind of way that I'm told it has to.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's really helpful, because, yeah, this thing, you know, it hasn't, quote, worked out yet. And, of course, there's this big fear around it that I can't do it. And that means, you know, that basically disaster will strike.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And just, it's such a rich place to practice, like really, really being with the person, being with Andrea as it, quote, hasn't worked out. Because there's a way in which, you know, sometimes I even find myself when it kind of does, it finally does work out. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh shoot, I wasn't finished working with that. There was more to see there. And so, because it's such a great opportunity when it's kind of hanging out there you know, mm-hmm. conditional, and mm-hmm. this is my opportunity to choose the unconditional in the middle of a situation that, that conditioning, you know, to choose the happy mm-hmm. in a place where conditioning says, no, in order to be happy, it has to work a certain way.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, boy. This is really helpful.
Mm. So fun to look at. Yeah.
Yes.
And to realize we're all going through it together, truly.
Yeah, because definitely, this morning I felt so alone with conditioning, you know, with all of that. So helpful. I love this call every day. I'm so grateful for this call.
Me too. Yeah. Thanks for calling in, Andrea.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye. Go happy.
Thank you, Andrea. Jen, I think we've got time for one more, so
okay.
Let's move on through. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen and Chris. It's Renee in Oregon.
Hey, Renee.
Hi, Renee.
Hi. Yeah, this is a great question. And the thing that arose for me was, if only I were here.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. That's another one that pretty much cuts right to it, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's true. So
it's absolutely true. I mean, that's another one where it's like, yeah, that's quote the right answer. But it's the God's truth, and it's completely our experience.
It is the truth, and with practice, I've proven it to be the truth. That's what I love about this practice. You don't have to believe me. You can just practice it and learn it and do it, and you can have that experience. I'm going to do a little commercial for retreats because this is sort of where I learned it the best, and that is when I was on retreat, I would notice how I didn't want anything while I was on retreat. Like, I would be there, and I'd be like, I don't want a latte. I don't want to watch TV. I don't want to go buy something. I don't want I don't want anything. I don't need anything. I'm totally, totally happy right here. After about the third day of retreat, I was like right there, totally happy. And so I took that into the world, you know, and I thought, you know, so you have the whatever dissatisfaction come up and the content, you know, you're thinking and you're doing all these things that take you out of the moment. And I'd be like, oh, I want a latte. Oh, I need to go buy something. Oh, I need to watch TV or whatever. And I'd be like, wait a minute. I can just be here.
Wow.
Right now.
Because that's truly what was facilitating that experience of not wanting, wasn't it? His presence, being here.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
That really is powerful. And I think it points at why it's very challenging to practice. It's why retreat is such a helpful, you know, retreat is like if you're getting in shape, it's the gym. You know, you don't need the gym in order to get in shape. There's a billion ways you can get in shape. But we need that support. We need
the
environment, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's incredibly challenging, you know, being out in the world because, I mean, if I want a latte, I can have a latte, you know.
Right.
If I want a hummus, I can have a hummus.
Buy one, from 100 places. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you're almost pushed towards it, right? I mean,
right.
There isn't the support to go, hey, you don't see signs outside Starbucks saying, pause. Check in. See if you really do want a latte.
Right. Hey, not a bad idea.
We could have pink lines outside.
Awareness pauses, places, and I was just going to say that I would just, you know, I used to think there isn't the possibility of doing this in the world. I used to think that. That it isn't possible to be present in the world because it was so hard to go to retreat or, go from, it was like two different worlds for me, but I just want to say it is possible and it can happen. And
absolutely.
And now that I know that and it does eventually change and you eventually do practice in the world a lot more. So it'd be in the moment. Yeah.
Because what a coup that would be for the voices to really have us believe practice only happens at the monastery. And I think technology has just blown that wide open for us, especially this everyday morning radio show, you know, where we really are together
totally.
Every single day.
Totally. Yeah. And hearing everyone talk, I just realized how well everyone's doing with it. It's just so inspiring.
It's so inspiring, and I love it that people call in wherever they are, you know, so they're struggling. Great. I mean, that's a huge gift when people call in and they're struggling, you know, and we all struggle.
Oh,
and
totally.
We remember, oh, that's not part of it. That's completely part of it. I think it was a couple mornings ago where Sherry was talking about, we're not having any misunderstanding here that we don't want, like we're trying to prevent identification, right? I mean, we're not doing that. Because there's so much to see in everything. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And many times I'll hear someone talk that's struggling and I'll be like, oh, that was unconscious to me. I see something about it for myself.
I didn't even realize
that.
Oh,
I was kind of struggling with that too, you know?
Exactly.
So there's just nothing wrong with it.
Right.
The point. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Oh, so good.
Beautiful.
Mm. Beautiful. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a great weekend,
Renee.
Both of you. Thank you.
You
bye-bye.
Too. Go happy.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks, Renee. And Jen, I would be happy if only I were on retreat all the time.
Oh, wait. I am.
I am. Exactly. Yeah, it does seem to me that's the case, that once we really have an understanding of the privileged environment and how that works on retreat and how that supports presence there, then like Renee was saying, we can start to move that into our daily lives and away we go, break down that separation.
Yeah.
And one less of those sentences to that's believable, you know.
Yeah, truly. Yeah. And what a great gift that we have people in all sort of parts of their practice to help carry us along and model what's possible, and people who have been practicing long enough that they do, you know, live within practice, not at the monastery.
Exactly so. All right. Well, very cool. That brings us to the end of another fabulous show, Jen. And our assignment for today, in case anyone did not finish with the if-onlys, we have another one. So I wouldn't suffer if only, ... record and listen.
Okay. And then two more assignments over the weekend, and then back together on Monday.
That's exactly so.
Excellent.
All right, great.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, thank you much. And bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Go happy, everyone.